Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Dice Warmers, a podcast where we talk about all things geeky and we sometimes have structure and coherent thoughts. I am Vas, and with me today, as always, we have Kaz.
Hello.
And David.
And a good hello again.
Again? I think that's the first time you said a hello.
Is it?
Well, we've done this 29 times, so it is
yes,
again.
But you've never said hello.
Ooh, it's coming into the spooky season of October. So, yes.
If we're going to look at the amount of times that we've had to start this thing again, I think you've said hello more than 29 times.
Yeah, that's true.
Not this particular one, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, like...
Over the...
It's always one take, guys. We're professional podcasters. Like, we know what we're doing.
Listen to him.
We are professional. We've done this consistently now for the last few weeks with a holiday break in between.
There's a difference between professional and being consistent.
Yeah, we're not professional.
I mean, being consistent is a mark of professionalism, but it doesn't make you a professional by itself.
No.
No, it's our loving personalities, our...
I know. Sorry, I couldn't keep a straight face through that.
Okay. Loving personalities.
David has a loving personality, yeah. But I think I'm a bit annoying.
Oh, the rest of us? I mean, yeah, I would 100% agree with that, Vas. Mm. I do find you annoying.
Well, fuck you, then.
Oh, poor you, Vas.
Yeah, but you feel the same about me, right?
Oh, you can get annoying, definitely.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, see, we agree. What do you mean, no, David? Like, me and Kaz, like, we get on each other's tits all the time, and yes, we both have tits.
All the time.
The fact that we still remain friends, though, says something about our relationship. But, you know, what...
Insanity.
Yeah, what brings us together is greater than what keeps us apart.
I wouldn't say insanity. You've been a wonderful buds over the years. It's been a nice blossoming friendship and...
David, yeah. I want to throw up.
Yeah, but he looks in from the outside. He doesn't know what's really going on. Rose-coloured glasses.
That's exactly what it is. I'm kind of the person who looks at like TV show, it's a wonderful TV show, and then I don't actually read what the actors are saying behind the scenes and everything. So,
I mean, why would you? Just watch the show. If it's a nice show, just watch the show.
And that's why people still listen to us. They don't know what we're like outside of this.
Maybe I don't get friendship because I haven't properly watched Friends.
No.
I don't think the show Friends has anything to do. Yeah, they are horrible. First of all, like, everyone fucks everyone in that show. That's so fucked up.
I don't think that's true.
What do you mean?
Rachel fucks everybody.
So Rachel hooks up with Joey and Ross.
Yeah.
Right? And she hooks up with Chandler as well. Do you remember in that episode where they go... to the university?
No.
Well, of course you don't. You haven't watched it.
Yes.
So Chandler ends up kissing her. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not really...
That's a hookup. That counts. I mean, they didn't fuck, okay. But it's a hookup, right? So Rachel has been with everyone of the male friends.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Rachel's been everybody.
Okay, let's see. Phoebe. Phoebe has kissed Joey. She's kissed Ross. Has she kissed Chandler?
No, because they went to kiss and then didn't.
Oh.
Oh, no, they did. They did, though. Because they start kissing and then he backs away and says, oh, no, I can't do this.
No, they slowly go towards each other. Slowly. And then he's like, no, I can't do it.
I'll bet you money they kiss.
Yeah, but kissing is one thing. I've kissed a lot of my friends. That doesn't mean I hooked up with them.
I know. Okay, let's see. Like, so Phoebe has kissed everyone as well, right?
Yeah.
Then we go to Monica.
Monica's not kissed everyone. Oh, wait.
Obviously Chandler. Has she kissed Joey?
I don't remember. I know she's kissed her brother.
She was her first kiss. That's true. Yeah. It's the same episode, by the way, where Chandler kisses...
Really?
Everybody spills everybody's secrets.
So the big question is, has she kissed Joey? And the answer is yes, but it wasn't romantic. She kisses Joey on that episode where she hires Joey to fire him at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So when they say, like, you know, when they're practicing the speech, she kisses him on the mouth after that. But that's not romantic, clearly. It's
not just like, yeah, but what I'm saying is like, you can kiss people and not hook up right. with them.
So everyone has kissed everyone in that show.
And that doesn't mean they're mean people. They're mean because of other things.
But like, I would never hook up with an ex-girlfriend of a current friend. I would never do that.
Not without permission. No.
Even with permission, I think it would be weird as fuck. I don't know why. Maybe it's a Greek thing. I don't know.
Really?
What? Why did you say really like that?
I'm just yeah, gonna Zeus.
What?
I'm sorry, but he slept around with everybody.
Yeah, but he never slept around with a bro's ex-girlfriend, you know?
He probably did. He slept with everybody.
All the gods did in some way.
He never did that.
He slept with everybody.
Anyway, yeah, Friends, the show, is not a very good example of friendship.
No. What I'm thinking, maybe that's the reason why David's such a good friend, because he hasn't watched Friends.
But I also want to watch Friends. I just...
Don't watch it. You'll turn mean, apparently.
Why? Are you saying I'm mean? Is that what you're saying, Kaz?
Both of us are.
I mean, I can be, definitely.
We both are. We're both quite mean to David most of the time.
I'm the one who provides the coffee, so...
We're teasing him, though. We're taking, like, friendly... David, if I'm ever mean to you and you feel like you're being bullied, please let me know.
I will.
Because otherwise I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, because it's a friendly thing that I'm doing.
As to say, I will, definitely, but it's never happened yet.
Good.
That's what I have to say. Nor you, Kaz. You've been both been wonderful.
See, Kaz, he's fine. Or too afraid to say anything.
It might be the latter, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's the latter.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, David.
I think this is, we've actually reached a milestone here. We've probably talked about the TV show Friends for the last 29 episodes as well. We're still carrying on the traditional.
We didn't talk about it. This is the first time this season.
Really? I thought it was mentioned before.
I've not only spoken in these podcasts, but I've listened to them while editing. I'm 99.9% sure this is the first time we've spoken about Friends.
We've definitely made a lot of Friends reference on our podcast, but I don't think we have this season. I think Kaz is right.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I'm picturing a perfect Christmas gift for you both, actually.
Is it a trip to the studios where they film Friends?
I wish I could, but I think I'll have to settle to a game of Seen It.
A game of what?
No, because Vass will 100% win. He's watched it way more times than I have.
I was chatting to someone the other week, and I calculated that I rewatch Friends at least twice a year, at least. I think I'm at this point now, at this weird point where I think I can quote every episode word for word as it happens. So, yeah. That's sad, isn't it? But I don't care.
It just seems you're passionate about a TV show.
It's not that I'm passionate about it. It's just that I've watched it a lot. Like, if you ask me, is Friends your favorite TV show? The answer is no. There are a lot more, you know, a lot better TV shows out there. But it's got something.
It's Friends. An easy watch as well.
It is an easy watch. And it's an easy re-watch as well. A lot of amazing shows I've watched, I could never watch again. But Friends, you just, I'll watch some Friends. It's easy.
It is, yeah.
I'm the same with that with the British Office. I can only watch it once. I cannot watch it again.
Are you one of those people that think, oh, he's very cringy?
No, I just felt that there could have been a lot more stories told about that office, but yet he only really focused on one or two. It could have been any office, really.
They focus on the protagonist. That's usually what happens, David, in the show. Yeah,
they do. But when you invest
if you want to see a lot of different stories, I suggest you watch the US Office if you haven't.
I have been told that, but again, it's been lost amongst my Netflix watch list.
And it's a very different watch than the UK one.
Oh, thank goodness.
On the first season, they try to mimic the UK one, but hopefully they soon realize that it's not working for their, you know, cast and also the US audience. It would never work. And they do what they do best.
They did that with Shameless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to play to your audience, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched the British one, but I've watched the American one of The Office.
Right.
And then I've watched, like, Shameless. They did the same thing. They did all the way through with the British. And then the American took it, did pretty much the same with the first season, which I've got to say they did not do well. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they obviously changed it. And I couldn't get my head around it because I'd watched the British one. I think I struggled with the American one.
Yeah. Favorite actor from US Office, Kaz, go. Not favorite actor, sorry. Favorite character.
Oh, favorite character? Probably Meredith.
Really?
She's so funny. I just, every time I remember that bit where she's wearing that dress.
Oh, she's pulling it down
everyone,
and lifting it up.
Everyone tells her to pull it down. So she pulls it down and her boob pops out.
That's Casual Friday, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know why. I love that bit. I think it's so funny.
I love Dwight Schrute. Like, for me, he's...
He is
the show.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. He's all right. He annoys me sometimes, though. But
well, he's supposed to annoy you.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Jim annoys the fuck out of me, though. He's just so irritating.
I hate Jim. I hate Pam and their beautiful relationship. Fuck off.
Pam gets better because she gets more sassy at the end.
Right.
But when she's a softie, a pushover, yeah. I actually just want to push her over. But
that's not what I dislike about her.
Is it their happy relationship?
Yeah. Mm. But what I mean is, obviously, look, I'm a miserable son of a bitch and I hate people who are happy right now. So until, I mean...
Oh, that's...
No,
so
and I'm well aware of that, David. But it is true. It is true. I hate people and their happiness right now. Like, fuck off, you and your happiness. So until I find some happiness in my life, oh, that sounds way too sad.
It does.
I have happiness in my life. I meant some romantic happiness in my life.
Oh, right, okay.
Okay, I'm happy in my life. I'm not miserable, for fuck's sake. but I hate that. I hate Jim because he's a sleazeball. Like, he's clearly flirting with her, like openly flirting with her, and she has a boyfriend.
Well, she was and engaged, like, not boyfriend,
yeah,
she was engaged.
Even worse,
that was
worse.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, we're just friends. Like, fuck off, dude.
No,
balls to admit it, you asshole.
For years and years, he's just flirting with her, and it's like, oh.
And she's flirting back as well.
Yeah, poor Roy.
Exactly. Poor Roy, thank you. Roy is the real victim in this, and I'm so unhappy that he didn't punch Jim in the face.
No, he trashed the bar, didn't he? But he didn't actually punch Jim. Yeah.
Who is Jim and who is Roy? So
Jim is the protagonist of the show, really.
Okay.
I mean...
Is he the one being played by Steve Carell?
No, Steve Carell is the boss.
He's
playing... what's his character name? Michael Scott.
Is he the one who plays in the British one? It's Martin Freeman.
He would be David Brent in the English one.
Oh.
That's the equivalency. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's playing Gervais's character, but it's got nothing to do. It starts similar, but it ends up totally different because he ends up like a likable character in the end as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really hate like the Jim Pam relationship because they reinforce this stereotype that, oh, as long as, you know, we end up happy, who cares if we end up hurting everyone in our path? Which is like the most egotistical thing in the world. Like, if you fancy someone, just end what you currently have and go for that. But don't be that guy or that woman who likes, oh, let's keep that, you know, on the side and see what happens with that thing as well. Just don't be that person. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And breathe.
I know. What can we do to help you, Vass? You know, if you feel like this, what can we do to help you, honestly?
I mean, you can help me with this. This is a conviction I have.
I don't think there's a lot we can help him with. However, I do want to know what's happening with your Facebook dating.
Oh, yes. It's been an update to Facebook.
There's been an update. I don't want to talk about it on the recording.
There's been an update. But you don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I've got things to talk about.
Right, okay.
But not on the recording.
That's right, okay.
Sorry, I thought for a second you meant like Facebook have updated and they've taken the dating away. I was like, why is that upsetting you so much?
That would be a welcome change, actually, because they keep spamming me with, oh, we find three new matches for you. No, you didn't. You just found three people that are close to me.
Yeah. Oh,
they live in the same city. Yeah, but no, but...
Facebook don't abandon things. Google does, but Facebook don't. They let it fester.
Anyway, moving away from my sad romantic life, what else is new in your lives?
Oh,
Kaz, tell us about your beautiful, loving relationship. Go on. Go tell on, us. Kaz. Tell us about how happy you are.
Are you... Sorry, Nintendo Direct came out last week.
Yes, that's a good thing. Did you watch it? Yes, I did. I stayed up to 11 p.m. and I watched it.
I watched it the day after, but...
Oh, lucky you.
It was on the day of our recording, right?
Yeah, yes. I
went straight to bed after that.
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, I had work the next day, so
I drank a cup of tea as I knew I wasn't in the next day, and then instantly regretted it as I didn't get to sleep till 4 p.m.
Look at you flaunting your fancy life in our face.
Not really, because
staying up till 4.
I didn't mean it.
I did that twice this weekend, though. To be fair, so
okay. So you're both leading more exciting lives.
No, because it was a big mistake.
We're just making horrible choices, drinking tea at 11 o'clock.
My problem is Coca-Cola.
More caffeine.
I actually managed to cut that off completely from my diet, so to speak. So, yeah.
Clap for you, Bass.
No Coke anymore.
Yay, you're clean.
Well, clean-ish.
No Coke, so what are you on instead?
Pepsi Max.
Coffee.
Oh,
that sort of Coke.
Reveal
okay.
Shot, yeah.
Yeah, no, I still snort cocaine. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. No, we don't do drugs.
Nope.
No enhancing, performance-enhancing drugs were used in the recording of this podcast. Except for caffeine.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely caffeine.
There's a lot of caffeine involved.
Yeah. We take it three ways. Tea, coffee, and Coca-Cola.
We take it three ways. If anyone takes that out of context, David.
That sounds so wrong. You know what? Snippet.
Is that going to be our new promotional snippet?
Oh, no.
David takes it three ways.
No, it's not David, Kaz. It's all of us. All of us take it three ways.
I'd rather it was just David's. Yeah, we just said David takes it three ways.
But it's harder for David to take it three ways, surely.
I know, but the idea of it scares
me. I'm counting the orifices, and they don't add up.
They don't match up. They don't add up for him, no. I don't want it three ways.
If there's... you made me blush. It's like, oh my God.
Maybe he's being creative. I mean, you know, nostrils, ear holes. I don't know.
This makes me sad.
Oh.
And terrifies me slightly.
Should we get on to a lighter topic?
Yeah, you're the one that derailed the conversation with your sexy talk.
You're filth.
Yeah, you're filth. How dare you? On this podcast? On this podcast?
I feel like I'm being whipped by you. It's like, oh.
Like that as well, do you?
Jesus Christ, David.
David.
We're trying to get it back on rails.
No, it's gone off the rails now when we're hurtling down the mountain onto another rail. So, yeah.
So, Nintendo Direct.
Yes. Me and Kaz watched it. Yeah, it was. What did you think of it, Kaz? And what were your takeaways?
In all honesty, there are a lot of games on there that I probably would not play.
Is one of them Splatoon?
Splatoon 3.
Right.
Yeah. I've got Splatoon 2, mm-hmm. and I played it for a bit and lost interest.
Yeah.
Playing online with other people, they're just better than me.
Did you play the single player?
I tried single player as well. Single player wasn't too bad, actually.
Yeah.
But I tried playing multiplayer and everybody kicked my ass and I felt sad that I was being beaten by 12-year-olds.
That is my problem with competitive online games. Like, if there's PvP involved, I suck at it.
Yeah, it's the reason why I quit Overwatch after all that time. It's
like, I never even played it.
I played Overwatch. It was fun. I played the healer girl a lot.
Jimmy Mercy.
Mercy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's because I sucked at a DPS role. Mm. So I play the support character.
To be honest, I play Lucio a lot, so...
And I went the guy on the rollerblades?
Yeah.
I fucking hate him.
I mapped my controller, so then my triggers at the back were jump, so then I can constantly aim and heal whilst also maintaining.
He's basically a hipster healer. That's what he is.
Right.
I would say he's more of a... sort of Instagrammer kind of like promoter.
Is he an influencer as well?
Influencer, that's the word. Yeah. He does DJing, he got Lucios, he's got...
I don't think there's a more hated word right now in my vocabulary than influencer. Like, oh my God.
It is a word that a lot of people my generation upwards are disliking.
Mm.
Like, I can understand like what they do. That's fine. And all right, if that's a hobby, that's a hobby. But yeah, it just influences it's the word.
I don't understand. I mean, I do understand, but I don't get it. Why companies spend thousands upon thousands of dollars on these stupid people to promote their brand. I mean, I get why they do
it. Because it gets out to a lot of people, yeah.
It's cheap as well.
But it shouldn't. That's not how it should be. Like, Jesus Christ.
Sorry, Vass, but the world has changed.
Anyway, I think we diverted a little. What else was in this Nintendo Direct that was so interesting? Mine was actually Kirby and the Forgotten Land, to be honest. I quite like a 3D platformer, so...
Yeah.
That caught me off surprise if it wasn't for the leak beforehand.
Is it weird that the most exciting thing for me was the announcement of the extra subscription-y thingy? That gives you access to more games?
No, because that was my most exciting thing as well. Yeah. I'm looking forward to playing some of the N64 games again.
N64, Mega Drive, like those platforms, every game was like an experience. Even the bad ones had something good in it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, it was an era where no one had found a formula yet, so people didn't... They would experiment, you know, they would try things. Now everyone, because the budgets are so crazy with game development... Mm. You can't take any chances. There's no room for, you know, creativity. You only see creativity from like some indies sometimes.
Indie games,
I'm excited to play Paper Mario for the first time.
Okay.
On because it's coming out with Majora's Mask.
Did you not get it on the Switch?
No.
Because it's the same game. It was just remastered, wasn't it?
No, or was it a totally different game. Paper Mario, the original, is an RPG. These ones are more platformers with light RPG.
Am I totally crazy, or was the original Paper Mario on like Super Nintendo? Am I imagining things?
That was Super Mario RPG and the Crystal Stars, the Square Enix invented one.
So when was the first Paper Mario? Which console?
N64.
Ah, right, N64. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know how I know that, but.
Yeah, I didn't own an N64.
No,
same with me. I stopped at Super Nintendo, and then I think I went. When did I? Oh, I went the PC route after that.
Mm.
Yeah,
my brother had an N64.
Yeah, I had friends with N64s and GameCubes, and they were really sweet.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember playing one in McDonald's, queuing up, waiting for your Happy Meal, and they had Banjo-Kazooie on a greasy N64 controller.
Of course it's greasy. It's McDonald's.
Yeah. But it's probably got the tomato ketchup in all the little crevices.
Oh, God. And
that's just nasty.
Yeah. It's not an off-white N64 controller for, like...
It hasn't been there for
a while. It's just... Yeah.
It's like 4DX. It's part of the experience.
Get on my hands. Ugh. Goopy. So that is really exciting. And... Did you see the other thing?
What other thing?
Mega Drive.
Oh, yeah, Mega Drive. Isn't it, like, when you were growing up, not you, David, like people who are actually alive.
I was still floating in ether, you know. meant to be good.
Like Nintendo and Sega, it was like the rivalry of the century, you know? You either liked Mario or Sonic. Like, you had to pick a side. And, like, if you told kid me back then that I'd be playing a Sonic game on a Nintendo console, I'd be like, what the f- are you on drugs?
Mm.
Like, what are you on about? Mm. And now it's going to happen.
I know, it's great.
Sega, you mean? Not Sony.
Did I say Sony? Yeah, I meant Sega. Yeah.
However, this is where it gets interesting.
Sega!
Another part what that was announced during the conference was they're going to be announcing who the final fighter is.
The final fighter of...
For Smash Brothers.
Smash Bros. Have got the final person coming in.
I don't believe it's going to be Master Chief. It's probably going to be Crash Bandicoot. And if it is, that means Sony has partnered up with Nintendo, which
so
massive.
Is it like a proper fighting game?
Yes.
Okay, then it wouldn't appeal to me.
Oh.
Does it have any comedic elements to it?
Yeah, lots of it. Because
if it's a straight-up fighting game, it would mean that the person with the most skill would win, and that would never be me. I suck at fighting games. I do. I was really good at Mortal Kombat, but never against another player.
I was, but then I just button smash, so...
Yeah. No, like Mortal Kombat. I remember when Mortal Kombat 3 came out, I was like at the local coin-op back in Greece. Do they call them coin-ops in Greece?
Arcades.
Arcades, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, the local arcades, I was like the... Whenever I played Mortal Kombat 3, there was like a little gathering behind me, like a small circle of people, because I was so good. I really was. Like, I would play... What's that guy's name? The sorcerer guy who could transform to everyone?
Not Raiden.
I can't remember him now. Kung Lao? No. Anyway, I'll remember it at some point. Mm-hmm. But because you could transform to anyone, you could perform all their fatalities. So I would take him so I could, you know, do all the fatalities. Because if you played the same character, it got boring. You just did the two fatalities, one friendship or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh,
so
man.
The character you picked was super OP, and you wonder why you were winning.
No, he wasn't OP. He could transform into any other character.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He can transform into other characters.
Yeah. That was his ability. Yeah.
Mm.
Fair enough. Mm. Once he transformed into one, that was it for the fight, or...?
No, I think it had like a...
Time limit on it.
You would transform for like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds or something.
Fair enough.
So then you would bounce back to your normal form, which was really weak, your normal form. So you kind of had to transform to other people.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What did you think of the Bayonetta 3 announcements? Like the proper reveal Bayonetta 3?
I've never played the Bayonetta series, so for me it was indifferent.
Yeah, I played number one. I didn't get the chance to play number two because it was on... Wii U, remember?
Mm.
So, yeah, this will probably be my first introduction. It'll probably be Lisa.
Does anyone remember Wii U?
I own a Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Has it got caked in that dust like everyone else's Wii U?
No. Mine is a Zelda edition.
Ah, that's a good one.
Nice. The black and gold one.
Yeah.
It's back in the box, but
it was a good console, and it was marketing
that
friendly, wasn't it?
Yeah. They said as soon as it was named Wii U, that was it, because it sounded like an accessory.
Yeah, thought it was an accessory to the Wii,
so
that's why it did so poorly. Or maybe that's an excuse, and it just did poorly because it wasn't an amazing console.
Yeah. It just wasn't that good. And unfortunately, it came out the same time as Microsoft Kinect for the Xbox as well, the Wii. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you either buy a Kinect for the Xbox you already own, or you buy a whole new console, which was the Wii. And it was like,
Wii sold amazingly.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I left that little thing.
I don't know. It's an alright console. I used it mostly for karaoke back then, but
I owned a Wii. I don't think it was amazing. I think it sold because it appealed to a non-gamer market, and that's a huge market.
Yeah.
So for the first time, people who are not really gamers got into gaming because they could pick up, you know, a controller and just wave it around and it did things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what led to the success. And then obviously they capitalized on that with Wii Fit and, you know, Wii Walk Your Grandma. And I don't know, like they did that.
Wii
they did
Sports
everything.
As well.
Wii Sports was bundled with it, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then they made Resort, which came with the the Wii Control Plus.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
I think Nintendo like was really smart with capitalizing that market, and that's what like Wii sold like insanely good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And made some great games.
Because they did it as a sport thing, but Wii U was never bundled, I don't think, with anything. I actually still remember the very first time that you could control a game with your body. And I think it was the PS2, and you had like, it was like Play or something. It came with a little camera and you use your body to like pop bubbles and stuff.
Yeah.
It put you on the screen and stuff.
Yeah. It was called the iToy camera.
iToy, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just absolutely nuts that you could do things like that. Like, and then obviously Kinect came along and then...
Didn't Sony then try to copy the Wiimote with their own controller that looked like a dildo? No, sorry, not a dildo, a vibrator.
Do you mean the Move? The PlayStation Move?
That was the Move, yeah.
I have to say, I got two.
We're not judging, David. Whatever works.
One went blue, one went pink, I think.
Yeah, it was like a reddy kind of colour. Because it was a white orb, it looked pink.
Yeah. I used it for Little Big Planet. I tried to get Sorcery. There was a game called Sorcery, which was supposedly very good. But I can't find it anywhere, or at least in a good condition. It was kind of like a Fable-esque game. Really quite good. But
I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah, but they did create the Abomination PlayStation Move Heroes, so yeah.
Yeah, that was an era of experimentation. Everyone was trying. You had Kinect. You had, you know, everyone was trying to do like the next gimmicky thing because of how well Wii did.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, because the Kinect came before the Wii, I think, didn't it?
No, the Kinect came after the Wii.
No, I think Kaz is right. I think Kaz is
right.
I thought
the Kinect came
first.
But
Kinect did really, really badly.
The PlayStation 2 camera came first, but obviously all of that stemmed off of the dance mats.
Yeah,
dance mats were around on the first PlayStation and things like that, and then it moved on to you actually seeing yourself on the screen and doing the stuff.
Yeah, the pixelated version of yourself is oh my goodness me. Yeah, washing windows and popping tiles, you know, kind of fireworks. I think it was one of them.
Yeah, there
was
so
like
many things.
20 years ago or something, wasn't it? It's amazing how.
I feel like, yeah, something along those lines.
PlayStation 2. That's like at least 20 years ago.
Yeah, I think somewhere along those lines, yeah. Make me feel old.
Speaking of things that were ages ago, D&D.
Oh, yeah?
Segue.
Well, apparently 2024 marks the 50th anniversary of D&D.
Ooh.
And in a recent announcement, Wizards of the Coast said they're planning a new version that David is probably Googling right now because we can hear his keyboard. And Kaz will have to add it in post.
Why? Why do you say about keyboards?
Sorry.
Every time. You know what, though? At least I have it saved. Stop typing. Stop typing.
It's just
yourself. Oh, my God.
Ah, sorry, me.
I hate you all.
Yeah, so they announced a new version of D&D.
Mm-hmm.
They made it very, very clear to try and, you know, prevent people from panicking that it's not a 6th edition. It's more like a 5.5 edition.
Yeah.
So all the 5th edition material you own will be compatible with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do feel personally that that's a double-edged knife, kind of.
Sword?
Because backwards compatibility is fine, but it is also unnecessary baggage sometimes. So it might hold you back from innovating a new system because you have to keep it compatible with, you know, the books that people own. But I can understand, you know, that, you know, people have invested a lot of money into fifth edition in several.
I think more than any other edition.
Oh, definitely. Because you not only have the physical books, now you also have services like D&D Beyond.
Hmm.
And all that, you know, can also take up a lot of your money. So understandably, you know, Wizards have said that We're not doing a sixth edition, don't panic. But we are, you know, they haven't mentioned specifically what they're doing, but a new edition is in the works. Something probably that will bring some fresh perspective to the whole game. Because, yeah, a lot of people find 5th edition a bit too basic, so to speak. I don't have a problem with 5th edition. I think it does what it does really good. And it's a great way to introduce new people to the hobby. It's really easy to pick up.
Yeah.
But I do also understand where other people are coming from, the people that want a bit more crunch, but then at the same time also think Pathfinder is a bit too much crunch. So maybe they're trying to bridge that gap, maybe introduce a bit more optional rules or something.
I was going to say my analogy earlier, wasn't it? I said if 5.5 edition will be like a nice crispy pastry tart with a nice juicy filling. Comparing Pathfinder is more like a pork pie or something that has a bit more of a flakiness about it, but yet has a bit more of a center that maybe crunchy, maybe a little bit different.
David, what are you talking about?
Was this analogy needed? I don't think it was needed.
Well, but the current D&D is kind of like a flan. You have a bit of crunch around the sides, but then you have mostly filling in the middle that you can.
When was Bake Off? Has it come out this week yet?
It's on tonight.
When I introduce new players to the hobby, I'm going to say, well, think of D&D kind of like a flan. And I'm sure they'll all get what I'm talking about, David.
I don't even get what David's talking about. I'm sorry, David. I have no idea what you are. Why?
He's trying to make a metaphor between D&D and Pathfinder using pastry.
Why?
And I don't know why.
Now, what would it be to Call of Cthulhu system? Would it be leaving crests in a dark cupboard?
Call of Cthulhu would be a muffin that is filled with tentacles and death. How's that for an analogy?
That sounds horrible.
Yeah, no, that's about right. Yeah.
I would kind of say,
and it would be crazy good.
Oh God!
Yeah. I picture it as more like a muffin, but it has soft banana in it, where you have two different textures in it. And you go, ugh, but then you actually quite like it. The flavors a bit. It's
no,
kind of like that.
I don't agree. I think that Cthulhu is a year old banana bread slice.
That you think might get better if you dip it in milk, but it gets even
no,
weirder.
No, it's just crazy that you might potentially want to eat it, but really, yeah. You're looking at it thinking.
And for some reason, you keep eating it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Cthulhu.
I wouldn't eat it at a year old, but maybe a month old, a week old. It's already been out too long.
And Pathfinder, then, is a muffin that you open it up and it has a calculator in it because you'll need it to play Pathfinder.
No. Pathfinder is a muffin with a rock inside. You bite into it thinking this is going to be fun and then lose all your teeth.
And somewhere in there is a druid trying to find his friends.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. That's kind of like a rock cake in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so Pathfinder's a rock cake, D&D's a flan, mm-hmm. and Cthulhu's a muffin.
With banana in it.
I'm also going to make a tavern with an ogre cook that sells rock cakes in my next D&D game.
And mud cakes.
Mud cakes and rock cakes, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I might nick that idea.
Hey, I'm going to go for it.
Oh, well, I think when it comes to if they're doing with 5.5 D&D, I think what they really need to express is what is going to be different about this compared to just regular 5th edition. Are they going to add anything that maybe cooperative attacks, maybe a bit more investigation?
No one knows.
No.
They said that they will be ready to talk about it more next year, but for now they only have the announcement that it is happening, it is coming. More info later. Another side project that's really exciting for me is, I don't know if you've heard of Level Up, which is, the official name is Level Up Advanced 5th Edition. So it's basically Fifth Edition on crack. Not cocaine, I checked. It's crack.
It's not caffeine either.
No, no. So basically, these are literally the people who love D&D, but wished it was a little bit more crunchy, but not Pathfinder. So instead of waiting for someone to do it, they decided to do it themselves. And I mean, it's a big company. It's EN Publishing. Ooh, it's not like, you know, a small startup or anything. Or
it's like a Portuguese task.
So for the last year or year and a half, they've been doing a really big playtest thing, releasing small sections of their rule set every month and asking people to break them, basically, and give feedback on it. So it has had a pretty extensive playtest group and a really passionate one. And they are ready to launch their Kickstarter. 5th of October. Yeah.
The month of October. Okay. Nice. Well, are you going to be back in it?
Depends.
On?
On the price, first of all.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe the vibe I get with it.
Yeah.
Because I tend to buy all these things that I never play, which I think everyone does.
Yeah.
In our group, but I'm trying to be a bit more sensible and focus on Cthulhu.
Fair enough.
Either Chaosium Cthulhu or, you know, Achtung Cthulhu, or if it has Cthulhu in its name, basically, I'll invest in it. Mm-hmm. But I'll try and leave the rest, you know, to my other friends, so they have something to run instead of me hogging everything.
Well, David's Pathfinder, and I'm unfortunately I'm D&D.
Yeah,
right.
Not my chosen thing to run.
You would probably do 13th Age, wouldn't you?
It would either be 13th Age. I do enjoy playing running Mouse Guard as well, but
yes,
13th Age is good. Yeah, I mean, D&D works.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
I think you had a moment of insanity like last month or something when you said, "I want to run a Cthulhu game."
I didn't imagine that, did I? I would like to run a one shot of Cthulhu. Right.
Okay, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas then.
Just to give it a go, like it's just a one shot. I would like to give it a go of playing. Yeah, just not playing, running a Cthulhu game, because I think they were just, it's just something that I've played
intrigued.
A lot of them, but
yeah,
I just don't know whether I can do horror.
I'm the same as well.
That's why I'm intrigued, because I know you can do, like you love silly things.
I can do comedy.
Yeah.
I haven't yet run a proper serious one for you yet.
Right.
A little bit serious, but not properly serious.
Well, we've got Icewind Dale, so is that going to have...
That's not going to be serious, David. No. Come on.
No, but that's got a little bit of horror in it.
Did you see Rob's character? It's basically a Ninja Turtle.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, yes.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I think you're all going to have a little bit of silly... Like, I'm not expecting it all to be completely silly, but I do believe that there will be some serious moments in it.
I don't mind silliness. As long as, you know, everyone is in agreement that, you know, silliness is happening.
Yeah. And I think that is, with the players that we've got, I think that is just a given.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't think a single one of you are. I don't know, but so far, don't have the vibe that any of you are serious players. Like, as in.
Excuse me?
Straight-faced.
I can be straight-faced.
Are you doing a straight face right now? Just to prove to me that you're doing a straight face, even though I can't see your face.
If I did, I would change my voice.
Oh, okay.
But no, I've played serious campaigns. I haven't run one recently.
Maybe it's me then. Maybe I am a bad influence on all the other players.
Oh, you definitely are.
Oh, no, you're not. I often find your characters the most in-depth, mostly.
No, but funnily enough, like, D&D. even like Dr. Elizabeth Shelley, which ended up being one of your favorite characters, started out a bit silly.
Yeah,
like you try to jokeify it a bit, if that's even a word. But in the end, it like I love how I twisted it around and made it serious.
No, I don't think she was not serious. I think she was so serious she went the opposite way and became funny.
A lot of the elements you chose for her had the potential of being not game breaking, but being game disruptive. But I think we worked. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But we
I don't know what you're talking about. Not at all.
Okay, so.
Give us an example.
She has an obsession with dead people. She's basically Dr. Frankenstein.
She doesn't have an obsession. Okay, so the one time that I can think of that she might have disrupted the whole game was when you gave her a phobia and I picked stars.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You said she had a phobia and I was like, well, let's go with stars. And she basically went round her house, closing all the curtains. None of the other characters knew. The players knew. None of the other characters knew. That was the only time I could have potentially broken the game.
I don't think that was disruptive. I think that was very in keeping with the situation.
Yeah.
But that was the session that wasn't there, wasn't it?
But anyway, but all I'm saying is that I think you had a different way you thought that character would evolve. And I think it surprised both you and me in how she turned out. And now she's one of my best characters as well. She feels like a real 3D human being.
She's evolved a lot.
Yeah. And that's weird. Like, only role-playing games can do that for you. Like, there's this woman, now that I know, called Dr. Elizabeth Shelley, and she does not exist, but I know her. And that's fucked up.
Yeah, but we know so much about her.
I know who you don't know, actually. Mr. Samuel Nook.
Yeah.
And his traveling adventures and traveling tales.
Oh, my God. Nobody knows anything about him.
I'm still alluding you to my backstory. Actually, I've told you my backstory. It's not.
Do you actually have a secret for him, or are you just pretending you have one to throw us all off?
Well, I don't think
he has a secret anymore.
No, I said it was part of a family who was part of a cult, but then had escaped the cult. And has been on the run ever since.
Your secret.
After Carl Stanford died.
We knew that from pretty much the start.
Yeah, but you were all very suspicious of him. Like, he must be hiding something.
I thought he was Russian. I thought he was a freaking Russian spy.
I didn't even know Russian.
That's probably because David hadn't settled on an accent for like the first five sessions.
And then I just gave up in the end.
Randomly said you were French-Canadian. And we were like, right, okay, sure you are. Russian spy.
I was just French,
a French-Canadian who likes beavers.
Yes.
Yeah.
A session of beavers, and I had a pipe that had a beaver whittled into it. I remember that. And I also owned a beaver farm. But anyway, that's...
Yeah, apparently. So that's why we all thought you were a Russian spy, because none of your story actually added up.
Now that I think about it, David's character was way more disruptive than Gaz's.
Thank you.
In a good way, maybe. Yeah. In a good way.
I was sort of I had to build up the friends and build up the confidence to actually be with this group rather than because I always was alone.
Yeah.
Or at least always trying to get information using people. But now I've come to that stage where I'm thinking, like, I need to help these people and, you know.
I'm sorry, but do you think Dr. Shelley likes Nook?
Yes, she does. Well, not likes him, but...
Not likes
him. She doesn't dislike him.
Exactly. And I think that's the best you can get with Dr. Shelley.
No, I think she actually liked Jack. Jack earned her respect, you know?
By dying.
No, well, no, before he died, but he earned her respect.
Yeah.
I'm your second choice, was I?
Maybe, but I'm pretty sure you're her third choice.
Oh.
Third choice.
Is that after Harry's character? What's his name?
Oh, no. I would say she respects Julianne more.
No. You know what? Julianne left her and she just kind of was like, no, you know what?
Right. And yeah, there's no context now for our listeners. We're talking basically about our Masks of Nyarlathotep campaign that ended. Was it last year?
I think it was the year before.
December last year.
We're in 21 now, aren't we?
Jesus Christ.
We went into lockdown March last year.
And now I'm basically running a small Dreamlands mini campaign to wrap up Kaz's story.
Yeah.
And for those who are familiar with Dreamlands and ghouls,
They'll know why I'm doing Dreamlands.
I'm unfamiliar with the material, so it's all going to be new to me. All I know there was cat people, so I was excited, you know.
Yeah, it's not your traditional Dreamlands. It's a version of the Dreamlands.
Bass's dreams of Dreamland. Mm-hmm. So fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've not seen anything yet. but I made a promise to Kaz that I'm going to make her cry by the end of this campaign. In a good way. I don't want to, you know, I'm going to make you cry.
Weep tears of joy.
If I cry, it's never going to be in a good way.
I can get you emotional, I think.
I was nearly emotional when Nick's character Jack died. I was nearly emotional.
It made you tear up.
Right. So I'm going to capitalize on that emotion, and I'm going to try to push you over the edge. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work, but I might actually get Nick. I don't know. if I get anyone...
You'll get Nick.
Yeah, I think
he's
I'm good.
The emotional one.
I'm the stoic sort of what on earth is going on kind of one. So
you're the guy who makes weird, what you call them, deals with cat merchants, apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
David. I don't. Well, actually, we're going to a location that we need to go anyway, so it's all good, and we get stuff out of it.
It's as if I knew that you were going to do that, David, and I suggested that. It's crazy how things work out.
It's the whole thing of you put a cat person in there, so then I would talk to that cat person.
Yeah. No, I put a cat person there so you'd walk past him. Yeah, of course I put a cat person there so you'd talk.
It's a cat person. Of course you're going to talk to a cat person.
Yeah.
Who isn't going to sit there and talk to a cat person?
But I got to say, it's taking, like, you guys are taking your sweet time with it. And I'm not complaining.
Yeah, we want it to last.
Ugh, women. Like,
there's the old fashioned
5 minutes. It's long enough. I mean, come on. I remember that joke when said, oh, you know, this time I was close. Oh, and what was I doing when you were close? Oh, you were getting a beer. I think that's from 2.5 Men, by the way.
Another show I have not watched.
I really like 2.5 Men. The part until Last of Kutcher shows up and then the show died.
Yeah, I stopped watching it at that point.
Oh, actually, speaking about D&D, so I wanted to just really explain my appreciation for one particular dice company that has given me a really nice little letter.
Wait, you like dice? I didn't know that.
I think I have a dice addiction, but which I need to go to.
don't have a dice addiction.
Trust me, David, you don't have a dice addiction.
Until you get a dice subscription.
Oh, that's true. How's that going, by the way? Going well?
Yeah, not bad. Get some pretty dice every month, so...
So, David, you were saying?
Yes, yeah, so I recently pre-ordered and got the Wild Beyond the Witchlight special edition from D&D Dice.
Which has an amazing cover, by the way.
Yeah, it's so shiny. And also, it looks like you back in episode 3, was it? When I drew as a cat.
Who, me?
Yeah.
You drew me as a cat? How dare you?
It was the one with the prostate exam, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He drew us as our...
As our spirit animals.
Spirit animals, yeah.
So I drew you as a cat.
Yeah. We've done some weird episodes.
But yeah, so essentially it's lovely. But it didn't come with any maps.
Right.
Like it was. So they sent me a really nice little letter from them just explaining how sorry they are and how they'll reprint it. And they also got me some Haribo as well, which is an honoured tradition with dice providers.
Hmm. Right, that's true. I've received a Haribo from Chaosium once.
Yeah, I just felt like this company, or at least this one in particular, does it well. They do customer service really well. Like, I felt like I could definitely order from them again. This is not a plug, by the way. I really just appreciate D&D Dice.
Yeah.
I do like D&D Dice.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to say it's not a plug, because no one is going to pay us to promote them, let's be honest. But yeah, I'm all for supporting people who own up to their mistake, because everyone's going to fuck up, you know, and it's fine. Yeah. Just own up to it and provide some customer service.
Yeah, but I also received some D&D dice boosters, and I have not yet opened them.
Is it D&D dice or D&D dice?
It's D&D dice.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get confused. But anyway, I got some dice boosters for that as well. So happy days.
Are you going to open them?
What's a dice booster?
They're like mystery packs.
Mystery pack of dice. And shall I open them now?
I mean, you're doing it already.
I do a review before.
It does
before.
Sound like you're already opening them.
Yeah. I do a review before we get on with the final section of our podcast, which will be the Mario movie.
That's too loud.
That was too loud.
So, I'm gonna pull these out onto my hand. Yeah.
If only we were not a podcast and we were a video cast thing, so people could actually see it.
I know, right?
Oh wow!
This is so exciting.
David, do you want to describe what they look like, please?
It's kind of like there's an element of gold inside, like gold ingot or gold
a gold ingot.
Yeah.
Like a gold nugget type thing.
A gold nugget, yeah.
Okay, because an ingot is a different thing.
Yeah.
Encased within a sort of greeny resin. It looks really nice. Like,
what colour are the numbers? Gold?
Red, like a crimson red. Crimson red.
Hmm.
So that they're not practical, but they're absolutely lovely.
Okay.
I'm going through this phase now where I want my dice to be practical.
Why aren't they practical?
Because unless you really look at them.
Can you read the numbers when you roll them?
Let's see. I rolled a 4. Yeah, actually, the light picks up, but they are sort of a shiny crimson.
But sometimes, like, dice are so, like, you know, all decorated and stuff, and you can't really use them because you can't tell the numbers, and I find that really annoying.
I've had a few from Dakota Dice, and they're like that beautiful dice, but yet, yeah, you roll them, you go... Is that a 9 or 6?
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind because, you know, I have a metal Cthulhu dice set that cost me 70 quid and I never use it to game with. But, I mean, you know, it's
70 quid.
The color is mossy green.
Ooh. 70 quid.
It's, yeah. Well, you know, it's a limited edition Call of Cthulhu. Oh.
Yeah. See, my favourite dice are black with orange writing-y stuff, and they've got little pumpkins for the top numbers. Do you remember them?
I think I do.
Still my favourite dice, and still missing rolling real dice.
My favourite dice were my first set, which I was complete until last year, where someone nicked a D10, and it's in someone's bag, and it's hurting me. It's my first.
What color is it again?
It's a creamy white with black.
Right.
Numbers.
Okay. I'll look in. I'll look in my hundreds and hundreds of dice. I'm sure.
And it's like
D10, yeah.
Yeah, D10. It's got rounded edges.
Yeah. Is your dice stash like the end of Indiana Jones? Where
minor cases.
Where both actually, I think you got warehouses right next to each other, full of dice. Mine's just a budding startup business.
That's the dream. We're not there yet, but, you know, we got some years ahead of us.
I do have a lot of dice. Actually, the newest lot of dice I got were the D6s, and the dots on them are, like, just random, scattered. So I actually got two lots. It was a Kickstarter. So the first one I got, they were metal dice, and they've got lines instead of numbers or dots on them.
They're
D6s, and they've got lines on them to say how many numbers on them. And the lines link up around the dice.
Oh, that's cool. That's very techy.
That's going to be so good for sixes and nines.
Oh, I think I remember those dice.
Yeah,
was it a Kickstarter?
They were a Kickstarter, yeah.
Yeah, I thought about backing it and didn't.
Akko or Akko dice. They're pretty cool. See, in the same week, I also bought the heavy metal D20 Icewind Dale dice.
Ooh, nice.
And got the Kickstarter came through. And the Kickstarter dice came with the D6s where, obviously, you know how usually the number, the dots are uniformed?
Mm-hmm.
These are just, like, on the side somewhere. So, like, you'll have the six dots, but they won't necessarily be in two lines.
Oh.
They'll just be, like, in a cluster. So...
Ah, okay.
If you can't count quickly, you're in trouble.
You know what would be really cool in, like, 20 years or so, Kaz? We...
Yeah.
Right? Well, not we, but like you get your dice, you know, millions and millions of dice, and create like an amazing pixel art with dice, like on the floor of your house or something.
Mm.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Like a bigger version of the dice picture I gave you.
Yeah, exactly. Like every dice can be a pixel in an image. So
that would be really cool.
You link, you know, different colors and stuff, and you create this. I don't know
I might do that on a wall. In my house.
That'd be really cool.
I don't know. Like, I'd probably do a D20 made of dice on the wall.
That's Diceception.
Hold on. I've just noticed my dice are pictures of, well, tigers or lions or something instead of gold.
Oh, okay.
They're little tigers in there. So okay. I've got little creatures and all that in there. Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Like, what do you call them? You know, the gatekeeper Chinese dragons that line out front.
Yeah.
Under those. Yeah. I'll show you afterwards, but oh my goodness. But actually.
Someone's excited.
I know, I'm very excited about dice. Yes, dice.
Yeah.
Roll
it's
all over me.
Not to get excited about dice.
Yeah. So, shall we end this podcast with me and Kaz reiterating who plays who in the Mario movie?
I'm sorry, the Mario movie?
Okay, yes. So in the Nintendo Direct, it was said that there would be a Mario movie, and it went through the cast of...
And it's not animated.
It's not... It is animated, obviously. It's got to be animated, because the cast doesn't match up otherwise.
Huh? What?
Chris Pratt is playing Mario.
Okay, so it's not an animation.
It's got to be. He's obviously just doing the voice. He's got to be...
All right, okay.
An animation.
Okay. Chris Pratt is playing Mario. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying the same thing. He is getting so much shit at the moment for it. Seth Rogen is doing Donkey Kong, so that's pretty
cool. Oh, no, not Seth Rogen. I don't like Seth Rogen.
Do not.
No, I can't stand him. I'll be honest. I can't stand him in interviews. Like, his laughter annoys me so much.
He has got a bit of a weird laugh, yeah.
I mean, he might be a wonderful human being, but I can't stand him in interviews.
Jack Black as Bowser, so that's going to be really cool.
Charlie Day as Luigi.
Yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy is playing Princess Peach. I don't know if you've really seen her in much. She's in Queen's Gambit is the last thing I saw her
in. Oh, right. Oh, okay.
She's also in, like... Does anyone remember watching, like, the Witch, but it was, like, it was V-V-I-T-C-H, so it's, like, Vitch?
No.
No? That was a horror. It was bad.
Okay.
Really bad, but
I watched a really good horror, now that we're talking about horror.
We knew this was going to happen.
I mean, the Mario film, as I said, Chris Pratt is getting a lot of shit for the fact that he's playing the voice of Mario. But it wasn't his choice.
No.
I mean, he agreed to do it.
Surely it was his choice. He was offered the part.
Yeah, I mean, he agreed to do it, but at the same time, it's not his fault that I think he'd be all right, but I think he's gotten a lot of shit from when he screwed up the Avengers film.
He's quite versatile.
Yeah. Well, he's done Lego movie, he's done Onward, he's done quite a few animations, and he's comfortable in the role, I think. That's a good thing for a main protagonist.
I think people just still hate him from Avengers.
Why? What did he do on Avengers?
Well, in... it's not Endgame, the one before that, because I forgot the name.
Infinity War.
Yeah. He's the reason why Thanos clicked his fingers. Chris Pratt, basically, or Star-Lord, basically, got angry, punched him, made him wake up, and he stole the time gem. So, Chris Pratt acted the way he was supposed to act.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they hate the character.
They hate him. Not the character, they hate him.
Mm.
Even though he was just doing a role,
okay.
They genuinely hate Chris Pratt.
So let me rephrase that then. Stupid people on the internet hate an actor for the character he portrayed.
For the character he portrayed.
Okay, that makes much more sense to me now.
He actually felt the need to apologize on social media for it because people were being so aggressive towards him.
Sorry, I just wiped out half the universe.
Sorry, I did my job.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Sorry, I played my character so good that it made you angry.
Yeah.
But he also had two films with the development of Gamora to only have Gamora, you know, die. And then him not actually telling him she's died, you know.
Yeah.
You understand the fury at him.
So do we have a release date for this Mario movie?
It's going to be in 2022.
Okay.
Obviously, they haven't narrowed it down to a month yet, but it's going to be next year.
It's probably going to be November, probably, just before December's big old Avengers Fest or whatever. I don't know what usually comes out in December. But
I mean, to be honest, probably the best thing about this this film is that Charles Martinet is going to be voicing in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's voicing.
Right.
But obviously, he did the voice of Mario. He's done a lot of voices.
I think he's going to do all the characters on the side. Like, all the characters that fill up the world. Monty Mole, Yoshi maybe will appear in it.
I don't know. I mean, he did Mario, Luigi. He's done quite a lot of the voices in it, so...
But he's never done, like, full lines of dialogue.
No. And I genuinely think, right, that if we had the whole film with him being Mario... nobody would watch it because I think we'd get fucking sick of the voice. Like he's got a high pitched voice. That like not him, but obviously Mario.
Yeah.
And I think if we had a whole film of Mario speaking in his high pitched voice,
Mario,
I think I'd want to kill myself.
Luigi.
Well, let's see. Well, hopefully we'll be around in a year's time to critique the movie.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not us, the show. Hopefully we'll be alive as well.
We'll have to have nice performers at the movies. Unless we're on The Matrix and it turns us off.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Well, that's a weird turn. Before anyone wishes anyone else dead, should we just end it here and be like...
I think it'd be a good thing to do, so yeah. I don't want to wake up next morning and go, oh no, we talked about him on the podcast. Oh no.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, we're saying what you just said. You know what? I'll edit it out. It's fine.
let's wrap it up. I mean, David makes no sense. That's a good point to cut our losses and just, yeah.
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 Kaz, please.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
We'll see you all next week. Thanks for joining.
See you all next week. And also remember to play Deathloop because it actually came out and it's pretty good.
No,
so
don't play Deathloop. It sucks. Bye.
No, it sucks for good. No.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.